This is Growing in Grace with Richard O'Phil.
You've probably heard the story of the man who was caught in a flood. The waters were rising all around his house. He couldn't bring himself to believe that the water would really overflow the house, so he didn't leave. But the water continued to rise, and soon it was too late to get out, so he climbed on the roof. The man was a religious man, and so as the water continued to rise, he began to pray that the Lord would save him. About this time, a boat came along, and the people in the boat said, "Get in, we'll get you out of here." "I don't need to," said the man. "The Lord will save me." As the water continued to rise, the man continued to pray that God would save him. And just as the water reached the peak where the man was sitting, a helicopter flew over and it let down a basket to haul him up. But the man wouldn't get in. He simply shouted, "Don't worry about me. The Lord is going to save me." But the water continued to rise, and soon the man was lost in the flood. You're probably thinking, "But it was the Lord who sent the boat and the helicopter." In Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus gives us some details about prayer. He said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you." This text should not be taken lightly. It tells us how prayer works and how we must cooperate with God when we pray. Sometimes we consider that superstitious people must be unenlightened. But some of us may border on the irrational, or at least the presumptuous, when it comes to the matter of prayer. Now, the story of the man in the flood may seem extreme, but it's not far from the truth, for some people at least, where prayer is concerned. Could it be that some see prayer as something in the realm of magic? Might praying be what we do when all else has failed, or something we engage in to get out of having to do anything ourselves, like climbing into a boat or getting on board a helicopter? There seem to be two extremes. One extreme is expressed in the philosophy, "The Lord helps them who help themselves." Now, we've heard this saying for so long that some believe it's in the Bible, but it's not. It actually comes from the philosophy of Benjamin Franklin. This way of thinking all but takes away the necessity for praying if we can do it all ourselves. But the other extreme is illustrated by the man on the roof in the flood. They pray that the Lord will solve the problem by, as it were, waving a magic wand. Have you considered that what we call the laws of nature, or natural law, or Mother Nature, are all really the laws of God? What we call the laws of physics is in reality the laws of God. The laws of health are the laws of God. Everything from cause to effect has been determined beforehand and is established by God as the way things will be. And so it's not hard to comprehend then that whatever cuts across the way things were meant to be is going to be a problem for us. If it can be said that the purpose of prayer is to understand the will of God and then to ask Him to give us the strength to implement His will in our lives and in the lives of those we love, I think we could also say that the purpose of prayer also is to understand the laws of God and to ask Him to give us the strength to obey them. Whether we realize it or not, we are all at the mercy of our Heavenly Father's laws in every aspect of our lives. Even the people who don't believe in God are beneficiaries of His laws. In the first place, our very existence is His doing. We breathe, we eat, we live, and move by His will. All of this is made possible by a force outside ourselves, and this power is the power of God. This power is expressed in His laws. The devil has taken advantage of God's laws, distorting and misusing them for his own ends. But just because evil exploits the laws of God for its own purposes doesn't cause God to change the rules. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. To ask, to look for, and to knock imply that as we pray, we must be aware that God is the one who has put his will into motion by establishing the natural order of things. When we pray, we must recognize that what we are asking must be in harmony with the laws that God has already determined will govern our existence on this earth. I realize that there may be times which will be the exception, such as praying that God will preserve our lives when we're in an airplane that has suddenly run out of fuel at 30,000 feet. Obviously, at those times, we would be asking for something outside the realm of natural law. Planes don't operate without fuel. God will, on special occasions, do as he did for Joshua that day he made the sun stand still, or like he did for Hezekiah when he made the sun go backwards. Although God can perform miracles, we should not take this for granted. Our prayers should more often than not be in harmony with natural law. There is a danger that we pray that the car will run without fuel, or that if we stay up all night every night and eat nothing but corn curls, he will keep us healthy and strong. Friends, this is presumption. In going to God in prayer, we must not only ask, but we must seek and knock. And that means in prayer we must ourselves have a part to play in helping God to answer our prayer. For example, when a house catches on fire, we usually work to put out the fire before we try to figure out what caused it. But if my house is on fire and there's a broken gas main feeding that fire, I had better know those details because they're essential in effectively putting out the fire. To use an old illustration, if the bathtub is running over, the first thing to do is to turn off the water, and then we can start cleaning it up. In our prayers, we often ask God to solve some serious problems that in fact cannot be solved until what is causing them are located and dealt with. One day I was asked to pray for a person who felt that the devil was oppressing them. Now, I don't like to volunteer for these kinds of things, but when a person seeks help, what can I say? So I had to agree. Several of my colleagues went to pray for the person. Before we prayed, as is my custom, I asked the person several questions, one of which was if they had any bitterness and resentment in their life against anyone. The person, it turned out, had tremendous bitterness and resentment against their parents. They were currently in therapy, and the therapist was apparently justifying their feelings. Now, I believe bitterness and resentment is the fertile soil where the devil delights to gain access into a person's life. And so I felt that if we were going to pray for the devil to stop oppressing this person, we would need first to address the matter of bitterness and resentment. We would need to ask God to forgive the spirit of bitterness and in its place give the person the gift of forgiveness. I'm sorry to report that although the person wanted to be free from the oppression of the devil, they considered, at least at that time, that they had a perfect right to feel bitter and resentful toward their parents. They didn't want that problem brought into the prayer. Friend, even when we pray for the sick, the Bible teaches us we ought to take seriously what led to the sickness. You remember it says in James 5, verse 15, that the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and that if a person has committed any sins, they will be forgiven. And then it says in the next verse, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you might be healed. Although Jesus made it clear that a person is not necessarily afflicted because of what his mother or father did, he did make it clear that in a large part we ourselves might be responsible for the problems we're having. When a person requests special prayer, we often pray for them, no questions asked. Now, I'm not suggesting we need to pray or pry into a person's life, but definitely if our prayers are going to be successful, we must encourage the person to search their heart and their life to ascertain if possibly they have a part to play in solving their problem. And so prayer is not simply bending the knee and closing the eyes and saying some special words or even invoking a supernatural power. We too have a part to play. Correctly understood, Prayer brings our lives into harmony with the will of the Almighty, which is expressed in natural law. It's the process by which we put ourselves firmly on the side of God and seek to cooperate with the principles that He's already established. We should not ask Him to do something that's totally out of character with the way that He has ordained that things should be. To put it in plain language, our prayers should be in harmony with the laws of nature. Though He may choose to make an exception to His laws now and then, it is presumptuous for us to assume He will make an exception except in the rarest of cases. And those circumstances will be decided by Him in His infinite wisdom, which in many cases we may have to wait to understand. And so, my friend, as we pray, we need to think of the great principles of God's law, which may be included in our prayers, and we must pray for strength to bring our lives more and more into harmony with His great laws. Harmony of finance, for example. Harmony of health, another example. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're thankful that You never change, that the laws that You have set in motion are always there. But Lord, sometimes we ask for an exemption or we ask for an exception. Father, may we more and more study to know Your will that's in Your laws. And may we more and more have our hearts to be in conformity to Your will, and give us the strength and give us the grace to obey it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Growing in Grace with Richard O'Phil. If you'd like more information on this program, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 800-752-3226.